you discuss in the book, of course, you can't have a mint julep without a julep, and you explain where the word julep came from, and folks may be surprised just how old it is.
Yes, it's Persian, from julab, which means rose water, and different languages pick that word up, and I'm not sure of every language's exact definition of it, but eventually julep became a sort of a term for a flavored, usually sweetened water that you would add to medicine to take the medicine taste off of something. You know, interestingly enough, our soda pops like Coca-Cola and 7-Up and Pepsi and all of these began as health drinks. They were using some sweetener and flavoring and carbonated water to make medicine palatable, and that's the origin of our soda pop drinks. And there's, of course, a scandalous suggestion from someone that maybe early Kentucky whiskey was so bad they had to flavor it with something. That's my theory, that that's how duels began in Kentucky. Probably right then and there.
How dare they?
Yeah, and whoever first said that, of course, that's probably how he perished.
That's right, the demise of the first person who created the Kentucky mint julep.
Well, I like to think so.
You detail, you know, that part of the julep history, but you also connect it to the importance of mint. Can you explain how mint made its way into the Kentucky mint julep?
Well, the basic thing, I think, about mint is that it grows naturally where there's plenty of shade and water, and was a natural thing to either discover or be planted near the old spring house. A gentleman, you know, could go down to the spring house and harvest a little bit of mint, and there was the cool water, and he would have his bottle of bourbon being chilled in the spring house, and have some sugar, and he was all set then to make his mint julep.
In the book, you've got multiple stories that are connected to the Kentucky mint julep, and one of them caught my eye, and that is from Irvin S. Cobb for two reasons. One, we just completed a documentary on Irvin S. Cobb here at the radio station, but also that there was a connection to, was it, did you draw a connection to the Civil War and Irvin Cobb's comments?
Oh, yes, of course, being a humorist, everything that Irvin Cobb said was exactly true. And he claimed that the origins of the Civil War went something like this, that once upon a time a Yankee came south and was so uncouth as to sprinkle nutmeg in his julep. And the Southerners decided that if that's the way Yankees were, they wanted no part of it and seceded. And that's, you know, there are no scientific studies to show that that's less than true. Mm-hmm. I might add that, of course, there are many, many recipes for mint juleps. But I will say, in deference to all those other recipes, that once you've had, keeping in mind that a mint julep is pretty traditionally made with 2 ounces of bourbon, it's a pretty substantial drink, that after you've had a couple of them, it really doesn't much matter how you make the mint julep.
There was a debate that you'd mentioned over how severely you muddle the mint.
Yes, and again, of course, this only applies to your first drink or two. Then again, it really doesn't matter. But you see rarely someone that's suggesting that the mint is purely used for a garnish, that it's not in used as a flavoring. And there are bartender guides, and you can find them, and I mention them in the book, that claim that, but it really goes against any tradition and, to my thinking, against common sense, because the whole idea of the julep is to flavor it. Mm-hmm. And so you what you want to do, the argument is that if you crudely, violently break the mint too much, the flavoring the mint flavor is a little bitter, that it's better to just gently muddle it with the back of a spoon and press the leaves. I know of no scientific studies that that deal with this issue, and of course we all are very subjective in making such judgments. Mm-hmm. But I sidestep that quite a bit with Colonel Nichols' Perfect Julep in that I use hot water to steep the flavoring out of the mint. And you can either do it in a separate measuring cup, but if you want to shortcut, leave out a few steps, you can just in the bottom of your mint julep cup, or even you can improvise an old-fashioned glass, will make a fine mint julep. You just put your sugar, which should be superfine sugar rather than granulated ordinarily because you want it to dissolve quicker, but with my recipe it doesn't matter because the water will dissolve the granulated sugar very fast. You can put a sugar cube in, doesn't matter. Put the hot water in the mint and muddle a bit and let it steep. And then you can just, you can either take the mint out, which is probably a great idea if you don't want people spitting little bits of mint leaf out. I leave the spoon in the glass, and so go ahead and put in the crushed ice, and then pour over it the 2 ounces of good bourbon. And as you pull the spoon out, stir gently. Let it stand a little bit to frost. Mm-hmm. That's why a metal cup like silver or pewter is really preferred. It will frost better. And then garnish with a nice big sprig of mint so your nose can sniff it as you drink it.
Do you find it ironic at all that a drink that was initially created to mask the taste of bourbon is still quite famous while Kentucky prides itself in the flavor of its bourbon?
Well, it is ironic, but even with the best, most mellow and smoothest bourbon, for some people, a strong alcohol is a little difficult to take straight up. And if that's the person, then to the extent that there's a little bite from alcohol, you could use the mint flavoring and the sweetness to just take the bite off of that. Make it a sweeter, more delicious drink. And that's no comment on that straight bourbon is fine by itself, as Harry Watterson tried to show with his belabored recipe in which you push the one glass aside and drink the one that's straight bourbon.
Well, do you make Kentucky Mint Juleps a tradition on Derby Day?
I do. I try to have, one or two, but of course I usually don't remember how many I have. But yes, they're always good. And I don't encourage people to drink, but if they do drink, mint juleps are fine in moderation, and they are meant to be sipped very slowly. But if you don't drink, you can certainly make a nice iced tea by simply following the directions of your mint julep recipe and just substituting strong iced tea for the bourbon, and you'll have a delicious sweet mint-flavored iced tea. And you can garnish it and everything, and it'll look like a mint julep.
Well, Colonel Joe Nichol is the author of The Kentucky Mint Julep. You can find a link to that book on our website. Also, Colonel Joe's recipe for his mint julep. And Colonel Nichol, I do appreciate your time speaking with us today.
Always a pleasure. Thank you.